into the path of Altidore, and Vasquez back to Jozy Altidore! Jozy Altidore! When Toronto FC needed a hero, Jozy Altidore delivers!
Sober Second Thoughts, your TFC post-game podcast. I'm Dwayne.
I am indeed Dwayne Rollins, and I return with Sober Second Thoughts for the first time in a few games. Some moving reasons. I changed my home, so that took my internet away for a while, and had to go home for a while, and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. My own drama doesn't matter. I'm back now, and this should be pretty regular from this point forward this season. I'm here as the Sober Second Thoughts for the TFC's 1-0 loss at home to FC Dallas. This is called Sober Second Thoughts, not First Hot Takes, for a reason. So this is not going to be me ranting and raving about how terrible TFC is playing, how much need there is to panic, how terrible the whole world is, because if you take a step back and take a sober second thought at a game in which you create 23 shots on target, including many great scoring chances, you have 75% of the successful passes in the game, you control the ball, 62.9% is the possession score stat in the game, and obviously some of that is score effect once Dallas gets the early lead. Obviously there are, you know, when all those things happen, then it isn't as much doom and gloom as you want to make it out to be, despite the fact you dropped the 3 points. Now, look, when I say something like that, I want to stress something. I want to stress that I understand how sports work. I understand that the ultimate stat that matters is goals, and that is the only one that really matters in the end when it turns to results. However, if you want to evaluate and analyze and predict what things mean moving forward, you have to take a step away from those. And that's why advanced numbers, why advanced stats can be so predictive for us, so useful to us. And all of those underlying numbers for Toronto FC in this particular game do suggest that this is not something that will continue for 10, 12, 15 more games. The problem, of course, is that because of a couple different factors, the CCL run, their decision to punt on 2 games, something that I completely and fully disagree with and think was the absolute worst decision that they've made in about 3 years, was to give up on 6 points. I do not think in a league like Major League Soccer you can give up on 6 points, and that is exactly what they did in those Colorado and Houston games going back to the CCL run. And I would have felt this way had they won the CCL final, just as the same as I feel this way now. I do not believe it was more important to get those results, but that's my personal position. Well, now, but beyond that, as I say, MLS is not a league where you could afford to just give up on points, and they did. So that's where my criticism comes from this, not necessarily their play right now. If you replay this game, you know, 15 times, I think TFC ends up having a couple of those balls rolled just that extra inch one of those other times. Maybe, you know, Jovinko guesses the right way in the penalty this time and scores, but maybe they don't, you know, Gonzalez doesn't make 3-4 world-class saves off the, you know, in the first 15 minutes of the game, and things change. This was not a result that I think was replicable for Dallas. However, that doesn't matter. Obviously, the 3 points are gone, and therein lies the problem. This is a team that is now buried deep in a hole, facing 7 of 9 games on the road. What's that mean? Well, we're going to find out, and we're going to find out what kind of mental strength TFC truly has, because this is the biggest challenge that they have faced likely since 2014. Perhaps maybe the end of 2015 when they sort of went into a slump heading into the playoffs, they had a challenge that they did not overcome. Obviously, 2016-2017 went nearly perfect with the exception of the penalty shootout in the Seattle game in 2016. But other than that, you know, and it's hard to really challenge too much in that. And then, you know, even up until really the Seattle game this year, there wasn't a lot of things that were truly, truly frustrating to TFC, because the CCL was indicating that this was a team that was so immensely talented and able to really put, you know, their front foot, or their forward, their feet forward, and really get the results that we expected out of them once the CCL was done. Now, the major factor coming out of the CCL was the fact that Jozy Altidore is out, and out for a length of time. And I think we all saw that coming. And I believe if you listen back into my archives on Soccer Today, you'll know that I said that we would likely be losing Jozy for a few weeks, and that was going to be an issue. I say that, and this is a consistent point that I've had for a long time, is that Jozy Altidore remains TFC's most important player. Maybe not their best player. He's among their best players, but their most important player nonetheless. And I say that because when Jozy is out there, that opens up so much space to allow players like Giovinco, players like Vasquez, even players like Osorio, the way he's been playing this year, you can add him to the mix too, to really just have that extra step, that extra second, where they can create pure magic, and those balls that are missing right now by an inch are going in by 3 inches, right? That's what Jozy does, in addition to also scoring himself, and almost single-handedly in some cases when this team is going through a slump scoring-wise, like they did last playoffs, be able to produce something and find that goal. Find that goal that right now they can't. Giovinco's a brilliant player. We all know that. He, you know, created the penalty, nearly scored on a free kick, a brilliant free kick where he put it under the wall, something we've seen him do in the past, the Robert special, as I like to call it, based on Laurent Robert's goal in his only good moment for TFC back in 2008. And Giovinco had an outrageous, I think, 13 shots or something tonight. It was crazy. Like, he played very well. Just couldn't find the final moment. But if you give him this extra bit of space, and you force defenders to focus on two highly skilled offensive players, then it's a whole different game. It's a whole different team. That said, you know, the bottom line is that this is a team well out of the playoffs right now. They're going to need to get some serious results quickly. 7-9 at home. That DC United game, it's close to the next home game. It's close to a must win. I don't know really if you could ever call an MLS team or game a must win, but you know, if they were to lose that against the worst team in the league, then yeah, you got some serious issues. Okay. Going to take a quick little break here. Come back with Greg Vanney's post-game remarks. He was as despondent as I've seen him after these games. He wasn't angry per se, but he was very... He walked in the room with his head down and looked down at his mic for several seconds before one of the reporters actually spoke up and broke the silence. It was one of those, like, who's going to talk first situations. Greg Vanney was very good with his words after that and thoughtful about the game, but certainly he was a very disappointed-looking coach, more than he looked angry after this game, for sure. So let's take the quick break now. We'll come back with Vanney's post-game comments. And then after that, I will take another quick break and we'll wrap it up with my my medals.
No, it's primarily about missed chances and giving up a soft goal, right? I mean, we had 23 shots and zero goals, right, to come away with it. And those aren't 23 light looks. Those are probably within there. There's probably 8 or 9 really good looks, including a penalty kick. And goals change games. Goals change the flow of games. Goals change the approach of the opposition. They change a lot of things. First goal, we can't give up. right? We lose a challenge on the sideline. It ends up going to our end line and then across in the box off of a counter. Can't give that up. You know, in the first half, we gave away a few more chances, right? Ryan playing and, you know, having to cover sometimes in a deep spot. We knew it was a little bit going to be a challenge for him at times. But aside from that, I thought he played well. But that's where we gave up a couple of our chances. At the end of the day, it's execution. We put together 621 passes to 272. We played three quarters of the game in their half of the field. We had 23 chances on goal, right? Like I said, a lot of them good chances. Got to execute. If you don't execute, you don't win games. Doesn't matter how you play. Doesn't matter how many passes you put together.
Greg, this was 3 points you could ill afford to lose with so many road games coming up. I mean, obviously it's a disappointing loss, but in the scheme of things, it could be a pretty costly one, could it not?
It could be. It's tough to say right now. I think we, as much as anything, it's about taking pride at winning games at home because it's our home, and we're in front of our fans, we're in front of, you know, the city that supports us, and we're supposed to win games, and we didn't win the game. And we outplayed the opposition in every capacity except for putting the ball in the back of the net, and that's ultimately the decider. So I don't think our team is afraid of playing away to anyone. I don't think – but we need to win our home games. But I don't think we feel like we can't win in any stadium on any day and in this league, but we've got to execute better than we did today, and we've got to be stingier than we were today.
Was that a letter, a late injury thing? And also, did you not want to risk Nick Caglin for the full 90 minutes?
Correct. Every time we bring somebody back, they're out within the next two games. So, Nick has trained now for 1 week, and we pushed him on a midweek for about 25 minutes in the training session in terms of 11v11. So we felt like we could get, a good 45 out of him today. as I've said many a times, we're trying to get in a process of getting guys back, not losing guys while we're trying to get guys back. And so unfortunately now Chris goes down, and so we'll see what that means. Eric is in his return back. It's not the same injury. He had a very mild growing strain now that hopefully will just be this week, but we'll see. I don't have a specific answer on how long. We'll see once he gets going again. But again, it's these little things that just keep popping up with guys, and for me, a lot of it is just it's fatigue, and fatigue is setting in early on us in the season because it's been such a busy schedule. But it doesn't matter anymore. The guys, we need to get guys back, and guys need to stay back when they get back, and that's the big challenge right now.
You've got a bit of a break coming up in the schedule. How important is that to switching things around in the second part of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. I think any time right now we can get to catch our breath a little bit and get a chance for guys to return to our group is important. Anytime we can get to train and maybe work on, a few things, but developing again the relationships of our guys out there, things like that, that just need to improve, and the final product needs to improve. And last year we did a fantastic job of getting on top of teams early and getting up 1-0, and our team is proven to be very good, but we're missing opportunities and giving away the first goal, and that means that it's just reinforcing the game plan for the teams that are coming in. So the break is important for a number of reasons, but we've got plenty to do between now and the break, and we need to make sure we focus on that starting next week.
Greg, in the last 10 games, you guys have conceded 7 goals in the first 15 minutes. How difficult is it to come back when you conceded early in this games, and are you worried about this stat?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it to our guys. It's something that, again, we talk about as a goal. It's something that we pride ourselves on, and we did so last year. It was a big thing for us to win the first 15 minutes, of both halves, and the last 15 minutes of both halves. So, and last year we were, I think, over the course of the season, we were +2 in the first 15 minutes of games over 34 games, and we were like plus 15 or something in the last 15 minutes of games. So that's not a stat that is going in our direction right now. You know, some of it is, look, it doesn't even matter what it is. It just needs a change.
Greg,
Greg, first home start for Liam after a couple of appearances on the road, playing in his natural position. How do you think he's?
I thought he was very good. I thought Liam was very good. I thought he was very efficient with the ball. His touches were quick. He got it to the spaces it needed to get to quickly. I thought he did a very good job of getting the ball, again, where it needed to be quickly. And, you know, I saw at halftime what his numbers were, and they were very good. And the second half was similar. I think he only lost the ball a couple times in the first half and maybe two or three times in the second half, which is pretty good efficiency for the amount of touches he was getting. Additionally, he won a couple balls, but because we had so much possession, for him as a defensive midfielder, winning balls wasn't a huge priority on the day for him in particular, but I thought he had a good game. I was very happy with Liam.
Is the penalty taking and conversion something you feel like you can or need to address, or is that kind of a case of trusting the players to decide who takes them?
I mean, it's an issue because it goes in, it's lumped into the category of us not finishing chances that we should finish, and it goes into the category of not scoring goals that can change games, right? So in terms of who takes it, again, for me, it's I want somebody to step up who's confident in what they're going to do and put it in the back of the net. I was a PK taker for many years for the Galaxy, and even though we had many players you could argue were better than me, but it's about stepping up and having a good idea, a plan, and putting it away we've got to score more of those. Those are almost like gimmies, and we're not getting it.
Aren't getting them, and that is a problem right now. The penalty misses are one of those things that has to come down to mental issues right now. I don't know what the answer is. Javinko would seem to be your best option out there, particularly the lineup you had tonight. I don't know who else really had any real experience. Banny, as he says, he said this many times before, the questions almost become like we almost shrug our shoulders when we're about to ask it, because we have to ask it, but you know what the answer is going to be, and I'm going to let the players decide and blah, 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 and it's the right decision to do. I don't know how you fix that one, because there are just certain teams out there that through the years have got the yips when it comes to penalties, and TFC is becoming that. Obviously, they lost the MLS Cup final in 2016. They lost the CCL final in 2018. Throughout their history, they have had, right going back to the bad old days, they missed an abnormal amount of penalties. And it's confidence, it's something, it gets in their head. Certainly, when you look at Dallas's reaction, this is going to lead into my first medal, and I might as well start there. My wood medal is going to be gamesmanship by Dallas today, and sort of the referee's inability to rein that in. And it started with the penalty. And obviously we saw it at the end of the game with the yellow cards that they received for time wasted, and you know the fact that Gonzalez didn't actually get a red card for time wasting immediately after getting a yellow card for time wasting is something that I will never understand. But nonetheless, it started with that penalty. The way that they just delayed and were yipping at Javinko, you saw one of the defenders was standing inside the area saying something to Javinko just before he took the penalty. The keeper stood out 5 yards off his line with his arms wide in the air, waiting with the referee, you know, forced back the players an inch here, an inch there, pedantically. The delay to take that penalty was outrageous and absurd, and it absolutely got into Javinko's head. And because they're not reining this in, teams are going to keep doing it every time TFC draws a penalty. And TFC will draw lots of penalties. This is why it's so important they figure this out, because the way that they play, they do force issues around the box. Javinko, that was a clear penalty too, by the way. I think Dallas at first, and I understand because the angle I was on was very similar to what the bench would have been. It didn't actually look like it on the naked eye that it looked like Javinko Dahl. But when you saw the replay on TSN, it's pretty clear that the keeper did get a little bit of a nip to his leg and did take him down legit in that. So, look, that's gamesmanship. I guess you could give them, you know, a bronze medal or a silver medal or a gold medal for doing it successfully. But in terms of what you want to see out there, I don't know. It's just not really ideal, and the way that it wasn't dealt with, and the time wasting at the end, the cramps. As I made a joke on Twitter about you'd think the team from Dallas would be able to handle that, terrible Canadian heat. It was a nice day out tonight, but I'm not sure all that cramping at the end of the game was necessarily legit. So hate to see it, but it's something you have to overcome in this league. And the referee did at the end, and I was critical of the referee throughout this game, and I didn't think Chris Penzo was his name, tonight was necessarily all that successful at controlling some of that stuff. But in the end, they did actually give the full 7 minutes of stoppage time, which is rare that you see them actually, correctly give the right amount when there's been as much gamesmanship out there, and also to give so many yellow cards at the end, which was an outrageous record. But again, Jesse Gonzalez, who I'll talk about again in a minute, he should have been sent off for the way that he was acting at the end. If you've been warned, if you got a warning, which I thought was hilarious too, because he was clearly doing it and the referee ran 50 yards to give him the warning rather than just give him the yellow card. Then he does it about 2 minutes later, gets the yellow card, then does it immediately after that. Like, at some point, you have to throw your hands up and just send the guy off. But obviously, they didn't have the wherewithal to do that last night. All right, so that's my wood medal. My bronze medal is going to go to Jonathan Rosario. A lot of people might disagree with me giving a TFC medal at all tonight, but I wanted to give a couple notices, and this may be a bit of a lifetime achievement award. But it was Osorio's 150th appearance. That is all-time leading for TFC. There was a long time when TFC couldn't even get a player over 100. They now have one player with 150 appearances for the club. That is, I think, a significant accomplishment. And he continued. He did have a good game. He was very creative out there, was producing chances, was making the right decisions offensively. Despite the fact that there were people below the press box that get frustrated that he doesn't unleash 25-yard shots all the time, and that, this is my take from listening to the crowd, is that they would much prefer if TFC just shot from 20 yards all the time. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's hockey coming out or what, but other than that criticism that a lot of fans give him, there's really nothing to complain about Osorio's play this year. He created more chances than anyone other than Vasquez on TFC. I'm just looking at the numbers right now with 4 created on the game. That is something to be happy about. He continues to, what Osorio does very well is that he does not give the ball up easily. I know that there are people out there, and this is confirmation bias at work, that remember giveaways, and they will talk about players like Osorio, like Michael Bradley, and say, they always give the ball away. But then when you look at the actual truth, the actual performance results, they just don't bear it out. Let me give you a couple of numbers here. The two players I just mentioned, in terms of their passing accuracy last night, Osorio was at 91.3%, Bradley at 90.8%. Those were very high numbers, amongst the highest on the pitch. My silver medal is going to go to Max Maruti. He got the goal. Pointed to the back. I always find that a little hilarious when the players don't, kiss the chest or kiss the crest. They point to their back. But that's already added to the myth of, or the mystique, I should say, of former TFC players getting a goal that beats TFC at home. This was, Tobias, and it wasn't Tobias' time. It was TFC's problem this year. It wasn't the end of the game. It's the start of the game. He definitely was a thorn in their side again tonight, and right down to the end, he played the 90 minutes and was a player that was killing time at the end and got a card for it. But nonetheless, he got the goal, and you got to give some credit to that. My gold medal, however, and I already mentioned him negatively, but I'll mention him positively right now, is Jesse Gonzalez. The penalty save is obvious, but the. There are 2 saves he made within the first 10 minutes that were just outrageous, like hands to the mouth. Oh my God, did he do that? And particularly the diving save that he made with one hand. I think that was just before Dallas's goal, so about the 8th or 9th minute, was just outrageous. It was go save of the week stuff. And, he's the difference. He's why they won. So Jessica Dallas is my gold medal performer for the game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for Silver Second Thoughts for this 1-0 loss to Dallas. As I said, now that I've got the internet and everything else sorted out, this probably will be a little bit more regular of an appearance. We will obviously be taking a break on all of our non non-World Cup Today shows during the World Cup break, but we still have a couple more weeks on that. A lot of work to do for TFC. They are a long way behind. The talent is there, though, if they can get this around. And more importantly than the talent, because I can say that all I want, the indicators are there that they will turn this around. Whether the hole is too big to dig yourself out of now, therein lies your question. And that is what I'm going to leave you at as we finish today's episode of Sober Second Thoughts. Thanks for listening. This has been a Sports Podcasting Network production as part of the Soccer Today family of podcasts. We are a listener-supported independent podcast. You can support us at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can listen to Soccer Today live daily, Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern at youtube.com/sportspodcastingnetwork.